This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Good afternoon, Jan. Jeez, you've given us an embarrassment of riches. So many nice stories to choose from. I hope we get through most of them. But what would you like to start with? They're all very interesting.
Or do yeah, I, sure. So perhaps
I get
the place to start. You want to talk about something? You can definitely jump in and let me know. But I thought a nice place to start was the report that Eskom has stated that it plans to reach zero carbon emissions by 2050.
Mm.
And so that's a government task force, the Utilities Just Energy Transition Program, which said it envisages shifting away from coal. And it will be implemented gradually over the next three decades. And the group is led by Deputy President David Mabuza. So that's quite an ambitious goal.
Yes.
But there is some concern that the switch away from coal threatens around 120,000 jobs in South Africa, especially less skilled, I guess, jobs. I don't actually like that term, but,
yes.
I think everybody understands it to mean that it's somebody who doesn't sit in an office all day, somebody who operates mining equipment, goes underground and fetches us the raw materials that we need, to operate our modern lifestyles. And there's 120,000 of those jobs, on the line. And so an initiative like this will have to be, embarked on, with some care. Now there is three decades, but color me suspicious when it comes to the ANC government.
Mm.
Because they've not proven that they're able to act with foresight over a matter of decades, unfortunately. And so this is something that will require a tremendous amount of foresight, a tremendous amount of planning. And it has to be sort of ingrained across administrations. Even if there's a switchover of power between the ANC and a different political party, this is something that we kind of have to stay the course on if we want to make sure that those 120,000 people that are affected by switch over to sustainable energy have jobs at the end of that.
That's quite true, Jan, but color me the same shade of suspicious as you. Spoiler alert, I've been tangentially involved with some analysis in the renewable energy sector for 5 years, and our government doesn't show any sense of urgency, and in fact, the decision to protect, as you mentioned, these 120,000 jobs in the coal mining sector is a very political one, very driven by unions, and it's going to be difficult to unjam that situation.
Yeah, it has to, and this is the thing about doing something over 30 years, right? You can do it extremely gradually. You slowly reskill people from working on coal fire power plant gear and fetching coal out of mines and that sort of thing over to operating the equipment that has to do with solar, right? So we need solar installers, we need solar maintainers. If things can go well, perhaps even solar production here in South Africa, twist Elon Musk's rubber arm to open a factory down here. That might mean compromising on our extremely stringent labor laws to get something like that done. But that's how you protect jobs, is not by clinging on to the past, but by, over this period of 30 years, modernizing South Africa.
Quite right. Let's just get the government to believe that. And if we can segue along that theme of government and the crazy ideas they come up with, here's another article from my broadband. Government wants a 30% local content quota for streaming services. Is that really feasible? Are we going to start to see 30% content on Netflix that South African produced?
That'd be lovely. I don't know how realistic that is, but here's the interesting situation we're faced with, is that once again, because of incredibly poor foresight and planning, we're sitting in a situation where South Africa's own broadcasting industry is under threat by multinational consolidated power. I don't want to call them monopolies because they're not quite. I mean, Netflix and YouTube and Amazon all compete in this space. But the fact is, none of them are South African. None of them pay taxes in South Africa except for that. And so that presents South Africa and the South African government with a tremendous challenge. And because we've got artists and broadcasting technologists and all kinds of incredibly skilled people in the country that will be out of work if we don't do something about this. And you know, it's a huge cultural question. If nobody is producing South African content, or if there's no money provided to produce South African content, and they've got no audience, then you know, that's a slow death for any culture. And so, the government is faced with an incredibly difficult situation here, because the fact is there are local content quotas on the likes of our local broadcasters, right? And so from radio through to TV, you have to carry a certain amount of local content. And now you've got Netflix, Amazon, Apple, YouTube, a lot of them coming into South Africa and competing against our established broadcasters. And they don't have any of these restrictions on them. Yes. And so, it's a difficult thing for the government to navigate. The one saving grace here is that the minister said that this is not something that's going to happen overnight. It'll be something, you know, that they kind of provide a policy direction to ICASA, the industry regulator, and then ICASA will have to decide on what kind of sliding scale it implements that local content quota. Like, well, you know, ICASA can decide whether Netflix and YouTube will be subject to these same quotas. But I would expect that if there's not some kind of quota on them, that you'll see DSTV and perhaps even the SABC and ETV bulking at that, going, you know what, if Netflix and Amazon and YouTube and Apple are not required and to have local content quotas, why should Showmax?
It's a good point.
It's an interesting question that goes much deeper than pure government, you know, the planned economy tendencies that our government has. There's a much deeper philosophical question here.
There is. The idea that culture, the old debate over whether we can monetize culture, but also the intertwining of culture and existence. I mean, we need to. But here's my very quick 2 cents on that, Jan. We've had 90% quotas under Saudi for SABC, and that was a disaster. Not because there was a quota, not because it was necessarily set at an unrealistic 90%, which it was, but because there was mismanagement and maladministration across SABC. And that brings me to my second point. I'm not arguing for or against quotas in terms of developing local content, but the sad thing is we've had local content, we've had local talent on two shows that I can think of on Netflix, and it's been some of the best rated shows in the last 18 months. I'm thinking of the Queen, which was an African themed spy show, which had rave reviews, and also Blood and Water, I think was set as a high school drama in Cape Town, and they both smashed Netflix viewing records. We didn't have any quotas for that. It's not like we can't produce the content. Again, it's the worrying about the planned economy and the government involvement.
One has to ask the question about whether, because Netflix and Showmax for that matter have been quite open about the fact that they are looking for what, you know, there's this a buzzword in industries, in business in general called hyperlocal. And Netflix has made no secret of the fact that they are looking hyperlocal. They want local content. So they want, you know, anime from Japan. They want Spanish dramas, sci-fi from all over the world. And then they open up, they bring that content all over the world. That's why, you know, Narcos, which was one of Netflix's top rated shows as well, which I think is a South American production, did phenomenally well globally, despite the fact that it wasn't English language.
Right.
And, you know, it was subtitled, if I recall correctly. And, there's nothing stopping South African productions from doing the same thing. But to get there, it needs to be supported. That kind of content production needs to be properly supported, and you do that by getting government grants and all kinds of tax breaks and stuff. from the government in addition to Netflix's open wallet to make it happen. And so once again, I wonder if we're not trying to do things the wrong way around here. The way to develop, for example, quality players of color in sports in South Africa is not to set a quota on how many of those players should be in the national team, but to go to the grassroots level and make sure that that players of color come through the ranks. And we're seeing the fruit of that labor in rugby now, where we've got a phenomenally diverse team that's not just a world-class team, it's a World Cup-winning team. And I wonder if we shouldn't take the same approach with local content.
Yeah, maybe get Rassie in to produce some local content or be an executive director. Jan Vermeulen.
The only local content I wanted to produce is the Springboks. Thank you.
Jan Vermeulen, editor-at-large, mybroadband.co.za. I'm so sad that we have the slot because I think we could keep going for a lot longer and we've only touched two of the five stories. But we look forward to speaking with you again same time next week and and getting some more great tech news. Have a wonderful week.
You too. Have a great week.